We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Alongside the fourth round selection of the New Orleans Saints in 1993, 24 years ago, Lorenzo Neal.
My God.
The always diligent Dan Dibley with the way he spotted Melvin in that Dodger hat down at AT&T last night. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Welcome in. It is great to have you. Today's the day. We're going to find out who our newest Raiders are. We're going to welcome them into the family. We're going to find out who our newest Niners are. Welcome them into the family. Boy, is that one going to be interesting. Because if you're John Lynch, who's out there tweeting right now that he's been up since 3:30 a.m., there's a reason he's been up since 3:30 a.m. Big news breaking late last night that could have a major ripple effect through the first round. Specifically, what's going to happen with the Niners at 2. Can't wait to jump in with that next. But for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
It is NFL draft day. Good morning. The first round is today from Philadelphia. 49ers set to pick number 2 overall. They could be primed to trade out of the spot depending on what Cleveland does at number 1. Late word that they could take Mitchell Trubisky, the quarterback, at number 1, leaving the 49ers with the option of having Myles Garrett or not. The Raiders set to pick number 24. Our live draft coverage starts at 4 o'clock. Greg Papa, Joe Fortenbaugh, and Bonte Hill right here on 95.7 The Game. I know that Coach or GM Lynch has been up since 3:30. Joe, how much sleep did you get with all the draft stuff you're wrapped up in?
Behind the scenes, your boy has been making strong moves, taking strong positions on some of these draft props. There could be a big lottery windfall coming if what was reported last night, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, ends up going down. So, no, I have not gotten much sleep at all.
Stay tuned to 95.7 The Game for all the pre-draft action and, of course, the draft show starting at 4 o'clock. Story number 2, Giants win over the Dodgers. 4 300 pence a sack fly in the 10th. The game winner, one of the big highlights, the Rook getting some.
Left center field, hit well, still going. Adios! Pelota! The first home run for Christian Arroyo. And now it's a one-run game.
John Miller on NBC Bay Area with the call. Michael Morse also with a home run in the game. The finale today, day baseball. Matt Moore against Julio Urias. Story number 3, the A's with a tough one. They lose 8-5. Sean Manaea leaves the game with shoulder tightness. Matt Joyce was able to get some, though.
Especially at the Coliseum as Joyce hits one to right. This is deep. And Calhoun will turn and watch, and it's gone. And now the A's are down by 3. As Matt Joyce drills the ball into the seats above the out-of-town scoreboard in right field. And here in the top of the 8th inning, Angels 8, Athletics 5.
And that was the final. Ken Korak the call here on 95.7 The Game. A's and Angels again at 7:05 today. The update brought to you by Orchard Supply Hardware. Orchard Supply Hardware helps you make your house a home. Orchard Supply Hardware, home, hardware, and happiness. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Golden State Warriors. They return to action either Sunday or Tuesday. It'll be right here on 95.7 The Game.
Tremendous work there, Dibs.
Thank you, Joe.
But not felt by all people equally. From the 925, that intern Ryan was awesome. Sounds like a natural. He can replace Dibs.
Wow.
925 calling for your head and for the intern to step into your spot. That was a very brief segment that Melvin joined us for in the last segment. To think you could just step into the role and do this day in, day out. This is arduous work, Dibs.
It's a lot harder than it looks. But you know what? Come on down, Melvin. Step on in. I'd be happy to get out of the tee box today.
Yes! The Melvin cast, starring Melvin and his Dodger friends. All right, here we go. For those of you who are just tuning in, the following news should surprise us, but it doesn't because it involves the Cleveland Browns. Late last night, a report surfaces from the always bankable Adam Schefter. Now, if this had come from anywhere else, you're thinking, all right, maybe it's propaganda, maybe it's someone trying to leak some information, but Schefter is the best in the business for a reason, because he cares, because getting it right is more important than getting it first. And Schefter has been a star in this industry for a long time. So last night, here's what he had to say. Quote, I continue to hear that Mitchell Trubisky is square in consideration and may turn out to be the number one pick. Now, I know everyone thinks Myles Garrett's going to be the pick, and I will not be surprised if that's the case. But I have got very smart, very well-connected people telling me over the last 24 hours that they think Trubisky is going to be the number one pick. The Browns have had months to figure this out. It's like planning for a wedding. And here we are the day before the nuptials, and the Browns don't even know if they have the venue booked. That's where we're at right now. Lo, if you're Hugh Jackson, what do you think is taking place behind the scenes in Cleveland? You've got ownership, you've got the front office, you've got Hugh. This team's got two picks in the top 12, 1 and 12. Which direction do you think Hugh wants to go? Do you think he's behind the let's draft Trubisky number one overall, or do you think this is coming from somewhere else?
I think it's coming from ownership, Joe. I think that you look at it and you say, okay, our number one receiver, we let go. We didn't want to pay him the money. He went to the Jets, did a one-year deal, so you don't you say, okay, so what do we have as far as receivers, running backs, offense, and you look at it, and you go through the process. You say, okay, can we build? We have a couple pieces on the on Honey Badger. We got a couple pieces on the defense. Do we want to say, do we want to continue to build on the defense, get us a pass rusher, and hold this down because we're still a year off? And maybe try to look at something later in the draft, maybe a quarterback, the 12th pick maybe, or come back in. But let's go continue to build on defense because we don't have enough necessarily weapons that we're going to say, let's just go get Trubisky at number one. Let's try to go and grab a defensive guy that we know that can put pressure on the quarterback, can make our defense better because our offense, we're going to have to take our time. And I just don't know if Trubisky is that guy with limited amount of experience on the even on the college level, Gar's game experience, only 13 games. We know that we're going to sit this guy for the whole year or at least to the season to go awry before we make that transition. I just think that Hugh would like to go defense and then try to get a quarterback later in the draft.
I think Lowe hit the nail right on the head here, Dibs. If there's an internal split, from everything I've gathered, it's that Jimmy Haslam, the owner, has come down and said, I want Mitch Trubisky number one because Trubisky is a Cleveland kid. So you get the quarterback being a local kid, right? That sells tickets. That sells hype. If you're an owner, you're probably thinking like that. But on the football ops side, from the GM and management all the way down to Hugh Jackson, I think they want to go Myles Garrett one and then work on possibly trading up, like we've heard for months now, to acquire their quarterback in most likely Mitchell Trubisky. If you're Hugh Jackson and you're behind the scenes now, and you've put all this work in with your front office and Garrett's your guy, and ownership's going to come in at the 11th hour and tell you, I want Trubisky. Do you really feel like you can ever win? Like, how would you feel in that spot if you're Hugh?
You'd feel like you're looking around the league to see where you can go be an offensive coordinator again and get on with your next job. Or maybe you're lucky enough to land as a head coach somewhere else. But you're already looking for your exit strategy because that ultimately is a huge blow. If you're Hugh Jackson and you suffer through last year and you get the number one overall pick, you're thinking, great, I can, along with my football staff, work to make this right. You have a plan, you put in all the homework, you look at all the tape, and you decide, Myles Garrett's the pick here. We still want a quarterback. Let's figure out a way to get both done. And then the owner comes down and says, no, not Myles Garrett. You will take Trubisky number one. We will make sure that we get this quarterback. And so if you're in the football ops operation, you're thinking, let's go somewhere else where I can actually do my job.
Think about this, too. And this is what owner Jimmy Haslam is missing. You draft him number one, that is a vastly different story than trading back up to draft him 5, 6, 7. Here's what I mean by that. Number one overall, Myles Garrett. Okay, people are going to be focused on him. And then you got Trubisky. And there's going to be pressure there. You go ahead and it doesn't matter if you think he's better or not. The perception is that Garrett is the best player in the draft. Everyone's been saying it for months. You're not going to be able to convince the fan base otherwise. So if you don't take him, already there's going to be a weary eye cast on Mitchell Trubisky. This is the guy we took instead of the best player in the draft. Cleveland can come out. Well, you know, he's not. Myles Garrett wasn't the best player in the draft. Sorry, we've been hearing that for months. You're not going to swing the fans. You're not going to swing the people. They've had this ingrained into their DNA for the last 5-6 months. So now you've got Trubisky as the number one overall pick coming in. They are going to expect immediate results. And in that division with Pittsburgh and
Baltimore,
you don't get immediate results if you're the Browns.
You're absolutely right. And that's why with me, I look at it and say, okay, what does a quarterback have to be successful? He's got to have some pretty good receivers. And you want receivers, if you're going to go with a rookie quarterback, you want some good receivers to help this quarterback along his process, along the growth period. And you think about the quarterback that left that turned receiver prior to go to the Washington Redskins. I said Jets early, but the Washington Redskins. Think about, you don't even have him, and he was your one, and he wasn't really a true number one. So now you're going to put Trubisky, who only has 13 games experience in the college level as a starter, and you're going to say, now I don't have necessarily a lot of good receivers, and I'm going to make you the first pick? I totally agree with you. Trade back. Look at try to get a quarterback later, but go ahead and go after the first sure thing, which is Garrett, because you know what he can do. He can rush the passer, and he's been known in this draft, like you alluded to, as the best player in this draft as far as pass rusher. So I think that they should definitely go with this guy, and it's going to be interesting. I'm not 100% sold on it, but even when you're talking about where Scheffner's coming out and saying it, the ownership's coming out and saying it, that's what makes me leery. But I just it's hard for me to think that they're going to go with Trubisky with only 13 games experience.
Now, here are two more additional pieces of information that lend credence to this thought process. Number one, Michael Lombardi, who works for The Ringer right now, Bill Simmons' website, but was a GM with San Francisco, or was a front office guy with San Francisco, the Raiders, the Patriots. He's been all over. Been in the game a long time. Good friend of mine. Love the guy. Tweets yesterday that the Browns, with the 12th pick, had been calling teams about a trade. On the surface, this would seem like nothing surprising. We've heard they wanted to trade up. Except yesterday, they were calling teams because they wanted to trade back. The 12th pick for months was supposed to be Cleveland calling Tennessee, the Jets, whoever, moving up to grab a quarterback. Yesterday, the Browns were calling teams behind them, telling them, according to multiple reports now, that the Browns are offering the 12th pick. Anyone who wants to come up, we know who we're taking at one. 12's open for business. That would lend credence to the fact that you might have a quarterback in Trubisky going one, as well as the fact that if you follow the Vegas odds, if you follow the offshore odds, last night, when anyone who was paying attention could have sniffed this out, there was a prop. Will a defensive player go first overall, meaning Myles Garrett? Yes, minus 1,100. No, plus 650, meaning a $100 bet returns a $650 profit. That is now down from plus 650 to plus 200.
Wow.
Everything involving Garrett number one has switched. The odds are swinging because of this news. We're watching ESPN right now. They're in Philly with Donovan McNabb, First Take, live on location at Chickie and Pete's, and that's what they're talking about. This is the story. The story. And you know who wins here? John Lynch and the 49ers. Lynch was tweeting earlier that he's been up since 3:30 a.m. Good, because he should be fielding every call imaginable about the possibility of trading Myles Garrett should he be there at number two.
And maybe he's actually looking at Myles Garrett tape, and I'm joking because obviously he already has, but for the first time, it seems like Myles Garrett might be available to the 49ers. I'm sure for the last few months going in, everybody thought it'd be Myles Garrett, so Niner fans didn't even have that at the front of their mind. But now, if this goes down as it appears it just might with Trubisky going one, the Niners are in an absolutely perfect spot at two, because I'm sure a large number of teams, at least a handful of teams, would want to trade up and get Myles Garrett. Yeah, he would fit for the Niners just fine, but they're in a situation where more picks, stockpiling picks, would be a better strategy, in my opinion, than just taking an elite player like Myles Garrett and having it, what, third straight year that you draft a defensive lineman.
And, Lo, help me out with this. If Trubisky ends up going number one, instead of what people felt would have been maybe number five, number six, that could get people calling the Niners not just about Garrett, but if you're Jacksonville at four, and the rumor is Tom Coughlin is hot on Deshaun Watson, that the Jacksonville pick at four is going to come down to Watson versus LSU running back Leonard Fournette. If you're Jacksonville, you suddenly have to be sitting there going, whoa, 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 whoa. If Trubisky goes one and the Niners are open for business, anyone thinking Watson, the quarterback run could start earlier, the Niners can start playing Garrett takers against quarterback takers. Arizona at 13, maybe in the interest of Patrick Mahomes. If you're a quarterback, you've got to be loving this because this will start the run four or five picks sooner than it was expected.
Not just that, Joe. What it does is just put a lot of teams in that, like you said, in that pickle. Because now if Cleveland's saying, oh, we already got our guy, and it's Trubisky, and now what does that do? Now it could possibly says, okay, Jacksonville and all these other teams, now Jacksonville has to even think about, let me call the Niners. Now Jacksonville have to say, okay, let me even see what Cleveland might take. Now Cleveland might say, you know what? We might not really want one. Let's just trade back to three because I can get my guy, maybe a Solomon, maybe a quarterback at three. So now Jacksonville will say, hey, what is it going to take us to get that number one pick from you, Cleveland? Because I want this quarterback, and he might not be there at two because someone might jump me at two. So now Cleveland, think about that too. They can be putting this out there to say, now how many suitors we can get for that number one pick? So I think that it's going to be an interesting draft tonight.
This is why the NFL is king. We are in hot debate. TV is in hot debate. Social media is in hot debate over what's going to happen at the top of what is really nothing more than a bunch of businesses hiring fresh out of college employees. That's all this is.
It's a job fair. Right.
This is a job fair that's taking place in Philadelphia, and the NFL has turned this into the marquee event. Credit them. All the drama. Baseball doesn't get this. Hoops, the draft is something, but you don't talk about it to this extent. Hockey, it gets a little bit of love because it's always intriguing to see some of these young kids. Auston Matthews, I mean, that's just been ridiculous for the Maple Leafs. But, I mean, this, we've been talking about this for months, and now here we are, and suddenly it's one more twist thrown into the mix, Dibs.
And there may be more twists to come. You know, you never know what's actually going to happen until you see a team on the clock and the draft really gets rolling. I think the idea of Trubisky going number one sends the whole next 7 to 10 picks into a wild amount of flux as far as which direction teams go. And the 49ers ultimately are in the best spot because if the Browns do in fact take Trubisky, that's a big exhale from the 49ers because I don't think that they want that quarterback. I'm almost positive they don't want that quarterback. So now you have your pick of any other player available on earth or a chance to trade out of there. You're in the best spot.
Okay, Lo, let's pretend you're John Lynch. You've been doing radio, and all of a sudden you're coming out of the broadcast booth to take the GM spot in San Francisco. You're working with Kyle Shanahan. You got a 6-year deal, and you know you got a big rebuild on your hands. So you've worked your way through free agency. And now here you come down the pike for the NFL draft. This will be the first pick you ever make as a general manager. Not John Lynch, Lorenzo Neal. You just got the word that this is happening. And in fact, when the Browns hit the clock, they will draft Mitchell Trubisky number one overall. What do you do as GM of the 49ers?
I pick up the phone and I call Chicago. I think they need a quarterback. And I call Jacksonville. And I go down a couple more picks and I look at the Jets. And I said, tell me what you want. You need this quarterback. You need this second pick. This is what we're in a rebuild. You guys are Jacksonville. You got some players. You think you're close. Tom used to be a great splash. You look at Chicago. You guys need something. You talk to the head coach too. You get GM say, we got some time. You don't. Head coach in Chicago don't have a necessary lot of time. So you start making those fillers out there. And now you're saying you play them against one another. He's on the phone now. If that organization, if you look at Cleveland, if they already put their flag in the ground, their stick in the ground and saying, this is it, this is what we're doing. John right now should be on the phone calling these GMs and saying, look, this number two pick, look, we'll trade back because what's the big deal? You're in a rebuild anyway.
You just need a starter.
Exactly.
You need to come away with a starter that you can bank on. He doesn't need to be a 15-time Pro Bowler.
I agree.
The Niners just need a player.
Jump back to
that
four
you can
or five.
Plug in that can
absolutely
play.
So say, look, I got Chicago and I got a couple Jacksonville, the Jets. They're all thinking, what do you got? And you start pitting these teams against one another and say, look, I'll just switch spots with you and give me a third for next year. And oh, we can do that. We're jumping up a spot to get our guy and we're only giving up a third for in the draft. Well, let's do it. And swap first round picks. So I think that John Lynch is in a great spot. So if I'm him, I'm on the phone with these GMs and I'm calling and I'm pounding the phones right now because right now he was king. Who has the gold is king. And I think right now he's in a great position since Cleveland made that point.
You like the idea of dealing? Dibs likes the idea of dealing. That'd be great if they could acquire more picks. Let's assume the right deal isn't there for the taking. Clock's coming down in the final 30 seconds. You got to turn in a card. Trubisky has gone first over out of the Browns. You got to make a pick at two. Which direction are you going as GM of the Niners?
With me, I'd go ahead and take the pass rusher, Garrett. I'd just say, here's a guy. Look, it's a smart pick. We know that we're going to still have to build. Here's a guy that we know that can get after the passer. We're going to coach him hard. We're going to know that here's our future for the next 5 to 10 years as an elite pass rusher. We build him in this community. We say, hey, son, we're expecting a lot of big plays from you. We watch film. You sit down with guys like that and say, here, let's watch this film. What happened here? You're John Lynch. You're the GM. You get the head coach. You get as the position coach. You say, watch film with him. Hey, why'd you quit here? Where are you at here? And so you go into the season saying, this is what everyone said about you. This is why you went from 1 to 2 or 2 to 3, because your motor wasn't going on here. You show him what this and say, don't you want to prove these guys wrong? We took a chance. That's why you're here. So you go and you get guys like that because he is an elite talent. It's just a matter of getting this guy to play every down.
Dibs, same situation. Can't get a deal done. Got to make the pick at two. Garrett?
I think Garrett's the pick, you know, and you're in a position where you would like to trade back, but you got 30 seconds left and no deal was done. And so now you're looking to take the best available player. And I think this pick is the safest pick. I mean, you could go off the board and go Solomon Thomas, which is another guy who's going to be a big, impactful player. And John Lynch is from Stanford. Thomas is from Stanford as well. Makes sense from that standpoint. But you don't want to be a guy who passes on Myles Garrett. If he goes on to be a Hall of Famer, and Cleveland and the Niners both pass on him, maybe he goes at 3 and turns out to be an incredible player, that would hurt a little bit. So you got to make the safe pick here if you're John Lynch.
If you're John Lynch, you do whatever it takes to get those 10 digits to call Jimmy Haslam, owner of the Browns. You say, Jimmy, how you doing? It's John Lynch, new general manager of the 49ers. You remember me from such films as laying out wide receivers for the better part of 2 decades.
You're doing your Troy McClure, I like that.
Yeah. So, Jimmy Haslam, John Lynch, great to hear from you. You sound like a polished guy. I like it how you wear the vest over the top of the nice long sleeve shirt. Lynch says, thanks. It's been a look for me. My wife got me into it. And they go back and forth and they yuck it up. Then they get down to business. Lynch says, look, clearly it seems like you have a bit of a decision on your hands. You want Mitchell Trubisky, the Cleveland kid, as the face of your franchise. Your football ops people, they want Myles Garrett. Why don't you grab both? We can help you out with that. Number 2 pick, we'll send it to you. You give us your 12th, you give us your first next year, and then you throw in a 3rd. Haslam would say, whoa, 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 it's too much. The 3rd doesn't really matter. That's what you eventually concede. You eventually concede that. Say, all right, it doesn't need to be the 3rd. Just give us 12, we'll move back. So you're flipping picks, 2 for 12, and then you pick up Cleveland's number 1 next year. Let's be honest, Cleveland's not going to be very good. So that's going to be a nice pick. Now you got 2 number 1s next year, and they could both be very high number 1s because you're probably not going to be that good next year either. You are now in a position where at 12, there's going to be a player out there. There might be a Malik Hooker, a safety. Maybe Jamal Adams falls a little bit. There's someone you can grab down there at 12 to help your team. You can get a starter. Then you come back next year with what will likely be 2 top 10 number 1 picks. And you work a package to make sure that you put yourself in position for number 1. And then you go take USC quarterback Sam Darnold. And now Kyle Shanahan has his guy for the future. Plus, not only through this draft, but through next year's wave of free agency, which this team will have a ton of money for, they can go ahead and bring in some new linemen, maybe another wide receiver, another weapon to build around Darnold. So you're really just getting ready to usher in the next franchise quarterback, but you're putting yourself in a position to make that happen. You're thinking big picture. Remember, the GM and coach signed 6-year deals. No one's expecting them to win 10 games this year. Just lay the foundation, and the foundation is to make sure you eventually have a quarterback. Doesn't have to be this year, because the better prospect is coming out of new USC next season. We'll get into more on that throughout the day. We've also got to break the Raiders down in a little bit, but Robert Klemko from Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated is going to join us next. He wrote a wild story about Florida State running back Dalvin Cook and how there is someone out there trying to sabotage him heading into the draft. This is crazy stuff. We're going to talk about that next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
The second pick, the Philadelphia Eagles select Donovan McNabb, quarterback, Syracuse University.
Classic Philadelphia jabronis. Can you play that again? This guy is the best quarterback in franchise history. This was the reaction. Go ahead.
The second pick, the Philadelphia Eagles select Donovan McNabb, quarterback, Syracuse University.
Boo! What were you hoping for, Akili Smith? I think he went a couple picks later. Lo, you played with him. How'd that work out?
Wow. That's all I got. Wow. That draft had some bombs.
There were five. I think it was five quarterbacks in the first round. It was Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb. That ended up working out, be honest.
Donovan was good.
Dante Culpepper was in there.
Bomb.
He had some good years. You can't call him a bum. He had some good years. He wasn't he wasn't great, but he had some good years.
Yeah. Okay.
Then the other, the three that didn't work out were Akili Smith, one of the McCowns or the McNowns.
Yeah.
Cade McNown. So not a McCown, a McNown.
Wow.
Cade McNown from UCLA.
Person, place, or thing.
But that was a big quarterback class that year. A lot of misses.
Might be some misses this year, too.
Okay. Robert Klemko is a tremendous writer. You can catch his work at the Monday Morning Quarterback in Sports Illustrated. You can follow him on Twitter at Robert Klemko. He's joining us now because he has a piece that, if you have time, I would like you to read it today or sometime this weekend. It's called Dalvin Cook and the Stories Behind the Red Flags. For those who don't know, Dalvin Cook was a highly productive running back coming out of Florida State University this year. Many thought, or at least some, made the case coming into draft season that he might be the best running back out there. And since then, his stock has been falling for some crazy reasons. Robert Klemko joining us to talk about that. Robert, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on, and thank you for writing this piece. I was captivated by it. Tell me what you learned about Dalvin Cook. In the last couple weeks, we've watched his stock slide. In fact, if you track over-unders with the offshore gambling, he was a guy that was considered to be maybe top 10, maybe top 20. Now his over-under's 28.5. What is going on here that has Dalvin Cook on the slide?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just, if you look at the body of work, it just, you know, go to YouTube and look at some Dalvin Cook highlights, you'd say, this is one of the best running backs that has ever played college football. I mean, he broke Warrick Dunn's four-year career rushing mark at Florida State in three seasons. And so you take that base, and then you look at everything that happened over the last 4 months after he played in his last college game, and it's remarkable how opinions of him have been shaped by things that he, you know, has done or didn't do off the field. You know, obviously 2 years ago, the big high-profile case that he actually went to trial for was allegedly punching a woman outside of a Tallahassee bar. He was found not guilty after trial there. But I think what really teams are concerned with this guy is how he's going to be, what kind of person he's going to be when he gets that first check, and who's going to be around. You know, if you draft him to Tampa Bay, how many guys from Miami-Dade are you going to have to deal with? Just Dalvin Cook or Dalvin Cook and three or four other guys? He didn't prepare for the combine with a tutor in terms of the combine interviews, which was weird to learn. And I think that a lot of these guys, it's essential for them, especially if they have to answer questions about, you know, a sordid past. But the one really interesting thing that I came across in this story that I'd never really written about or read about it with any detail before was the idea that there was an agent out there that was intentionally sabotaging this kid and piling on and starting rumors that made him look worse than he is. And it ended up kind of going into some detail about it in the story, but basically this guy was lying to scouts about Dalvin.
So, Robert Klemko, Monday Morning Quarterback, Sports Illustrated, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Fascinating piece. Dalvin Cook and the stories behind the red flags. So what exactly, this is a relationship he had with a runner. For those who might not know, can you explain what a runner is and what exactly he's trying to do to Cook in the buildup to the biggest day of his life?
Yeah, so a runner is a guy that is mostly anonymous. Scouts know him, agents know him. And they help agents recruit players during the process when the players are free agents in the last few months of the season. And so this guy doesn't work for any particular agency. He works for a few agencies and bounces around. And it was suggested to me by a couple scouts that he had a prior relationship with Dalvin and that Dalvin didn't end up signing him and his representation, and that's why this guy started spreading rumors about him. I don't know how true that is. Dalvin says he never met the guy. But I think that this happens a lot with kids who have those red flags to begin with, have some arrest history or whatever in their past, and then they become vulnerable to more spin, to piling on. And, you know, whether it's a runner that didn't get the kid, an agent who didn't get the kid, or an agent for a rival running back who's spreading rumors, I think it happens, you know, pretty, you know, a lot every draft season.
What can teams do to try to get through all this noise to really try and find out who the player is? And is this something that needs to change in the way they go about the process to go from combine to pro day to interviews and all this other stuff? Is there too much exposure for these kids that ends up getting in the way of just analyzing the game tape?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a college, you're kind of in a bind here because you'd like to limit these outside forces that are exposed to your student athletes. But you also want them to, you know, have all the information available to them to make the right decision on picking an agent. So you don't want to limit meetings, but maybe you want to limit the kind of characters that you allow the kids to, you know, to meet with. The way teams get around it is just by doing the work, doing the legwork. I mean, making phone calls. I'm sure every Southeast scout in the NFL with a remote interest in a running back has talked to, you know, 5, 6, 7 people close to Dalvin Cook. To try to get the real story. For instance, in this case, the runner was telling scouts at the Senior Bowl that Dalvin Cook was showing up to workouts in Boca Raton with alcohol on his breath, late, with guys with him from the neighborhood. And so a bunch of these scouts started calling the trainer, Tony Villani, at XPE Sports down there and saying, what's the deal with this? And Tony Villani is just, you know, taken aback because he's like, Dalvin's like one of my best guys that we have here. I mean, he's leading this group. He's here every day. He's never drinking, you know. And I think that it happens a lot, but it typically happens to the kids that already are vulnerable.
I couldn't agree with you more. I was one of those guys that came out in the 90s. And even me having a good background, parents were together, married 50 years. That an agent come to me in an envelope, you know, wasn't big money, but a couple bucks, enough that I could buy a pop or two. How does guys and how does agents, they hold that over a lot of these guys don't have a mom or a dad or have those finances, and an agent come with a card and an envelope with a couple thousand, a couple, you know, and then what are those guys, you know, they're going to take this money, and then they're beholden to them. How do you think we get these problems solved? And moving forward, you know, you talk about this story, and then the kid decides not to go with the agent, and then you see the fallout, what happens. How do you decipher through that, and how do you stop these things from taking place?
You know, I think the simple answer is that you compensate the players. These college football players are worth millions to the university. Like, how much do you think Dalvin Cook over 3 years made Florida State University? His market value is not a scholarship and rent and food. His market value is over $1 million.
Sure.
Now, how do you expect these kids who aren't being paid market value, anything even remotely close to market value, and I'm speaking strictly hypothetically here in the case of Dalvin, but how do you expect these kids to turn down that envelope full of cash? You can't.
Robert, when all was said and done, putting together this piece with everyone you talked to, if you were in the front office and you needed a running back, are you convinced Dalvin Cook is a guy you could trust and that you could build an offense around?
You know, I think it'll be different for him, and I think the big factor is where he goes. If he's in a situation where he's out of the state of Florida, and, you know, he's in a place like Green Bay, Washington, Philadelphia, one of these teams that is going to utilize him early and he doesn't have a whole bunch of free time on his hands because he's got to learn a playbook and he's got a chance to rush for 1,000 yards as a rookie. And he's got a mentor like a Deuce Staley, a guy that really likes him, that that reached out to his family to talk about him. I think that he could be great. You look at what he did at the end of his career at Florida State, after all the trouble that he got in the first 2 years. His third year, he walked the straight and narrow, and he was one of the best running backs in college football. I don't know if he's going to be successful because I don't know him. You know, I spent a day talking to him, and, you know, he was as closed off with me as I'm sure he was with some of these scouts and coaches when they start asking him about his arrest history. So it's so hard to predict, but I would think that a lot of it will come down to where he goes.
You can follow him on Twitter at Robert Klemko. He's a football writer for the Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated. The piece, Dalvin Cook and the Stories Behind the Red Flags, a phenomenal read if you're interested in learning about one of the top prospects in this year's class. Robert Klemko with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Robert, tremendous stuff. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the draft this evening, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
Thank you, guys.
Hotbed of talent in South Florida. I mean, absurd. Lowe knows all about that. Story time with Lowe Neal next on that and his draft day. Some fascinating stuff that he's never told before. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you in, 95.7 The Game. Since we are just a few hours away from the start of the 2017 NFL Draft, which tonight, by the way, our coverage begins. It's the great Greg Papa, it's Bonte Hill, and it's myself. 3 p.m. to 6:45 p.m. right here, 95.7 The Game. We'll be at the Raiders draft party. Special guests like Lowe Neal will be coming by. Can't wait to meet him. Heard he's great.
Big time. Big time get for you guys.
Yeah, that took months of booking. A lot of money, a lot of backdoor connections were needed, but we got Lowe Neal to come on. Sam Gash, unavailable.
Larry Sanders, dentist appointment.
Disappointment too. I'm out. Just like that.
I was like, forget this show.
Just for that?
I'm out like scouts.
Exactly, on a new route.
So we'll be on, that's very nice, 3 to 6:45. Then A's coverage will kick in. We will continue the program until about 8 on our stream. So you can stream us on the website, mainly because the Raider pick at 24 might not happen before we go off the air. So we got you covered. Now, to celebrate, we've got Lowe Neal getting ready to tell us a couple big-time stories. But before we get to that, we've been playing up some big moments in draft history on today's show. We went with the Donovan McNabb pick in the last segment. We've got a few more in store throughout the day. For this segment, we figured we'd give you this one.
With the 89th pick of the 1993 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints select Lorenzo Neal, fullback, Fresno State.
Wow, that was surprising.
Todd. Dynamic, hard hitting, huge upside, flying under the radar, no lap injuries, safe bet. You'd be hard pressed to tell me otherwise.
No lap injuries? Like from sitting on Santa's lap or something?
Wow, that was classic.
That's crazy.
Mel had a lot of nice things to say about you.
when they did the wow, because you guys, that's a great job, by the way. Thanks, Toad. You did a good job. When you guys did the wow, I thought it was going to be like, wow, that never happens to Lowe Neal. I thought you guys had me getting jacked
up. No, it's one of those moments. Today's the day to celebrate.
That's why I just hold my breath like, okay, they're going to do me. What's in here? So I'm like, okay, what they got?
Wow.
24 years it's been since that day.
That's what's crazy, brother. That's what's crazy. 24 years ago, I'm like, my God, I'm getting old.
It's wild.
It's wild
because I love to go back. Like whenever you play one of these and you talk about a draft, I like to just go back and look at the draft.
Yeah.
And pick names. Ronald Moore taken right before you, and David Ware taken right before you, but seven picks before you. Out of Stanford, John Lynch.
Johnny.
Strong safety. Yeah. Seven picks before you in the same draft.
You know what's funny? And we did this once before about a year ago. We didn't do it on air. But if you're listening and you want to get involved, you can hit us on the text line 95795. If you went back to the 1993 draft, knowing what you know now, and you redrafted all the positions, where would Lowe go? See, he was, what was he overall? He was in the fourth round.
87th or something like that?
Somewhere in the 80s, right?
89.
Yeah. 89.
You can make the case that if you go through that entire draft, knowing what you know now, Lowe's definitely top 10. The question is, how much higher do you go? Because there's a case to be made he might be a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
Based on knowing you're going to get 16 years of Hall of Fame production.
Willie Rofe went 8th, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Sweet,
it's a great pick. The bus went 10th, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So
that was a good pick.
Yeah. Garrison Hurst and Marvin Jones were top 4 guys.
Marvin Jones out of Florida State.
Yeah.
He was scary back then.
A stubby, friend of the program. First round pick. He went 26th overall.
Stud.
Michael Strahan's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Strahan was in the same class as Lowe.
Dude, we had a great class, bro.
I had no idea. I would have thought he was just a little bit younger.
And then you get down to Will Shields, who went.
I wasn't trying to make a joke. I would have assumed that he was a few years behind. I didn't.
Why?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. I just would have assumed he wasn't as old as you.
Mm.
So to your point,
it's not coming off friendly, no, but it's not meant to be rude.
Calling
it's
him old, basically.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, when I go at him hard. There's no ambiguity here. There's a little ambiguity, is there not?
It is hard to believe that it's been 24 years.
It
24
really
years.
It really is. I'm very grateful that I'm still above ground. You know, you look at some of these guys in this draft, no longer here. I mean, but you see John Lynch in there. You see the big Willie Rofe. You know, we came in together. Irv Smith, Willie Rofe played with me with the Saints.
That's a good draft class for the Saints. They drafted Willie Rofe and Lorenzo Neal with two of their picks.
And Irv Smith, the tight end from Notre Dame, played in the plan like 10, 12 years.
And I forgot to mention,
Irv's a good name, an underrated name in my opinion.
Irv
is good. Short for Irving.
That's if you ever saw the movie Great White Hype, Damon Wayans plays the boxer, the overweight boxer.
Yeah.
He's got an entourage, and one of the guys in his entourage is named Irv. And whenever he gets mad, he goes, Irv. And Irv comes running up, and he just knocks him out, and he goes back to what he's doing. It's great. I digest.
I failed to mention Lincoln Kennedy.
Big Link.
Number 9 overall. Same draft. Big Link.
Was Bob Whitfield? It was a freaking hell of a class.
You know who I'm hoping joins us tomorrow? Matt Bowen, good friend of the program, played 7 years in the NFL, went to Iowa, was recruited as a quarterback, ended up being a safety, had some really great years with the Redskins. Bowen was the pick before Tom Brady.
That's right.
It's an awesome story. Bowen went one pick before Tom Brady.
That is
awesome. The guy. So, I don't know. It's always fun. We'll get him to tell that story because he actually told it to Sports Illustrated recently. They did a big thing on it like a month ago. It was pretty awesome. But we'll see if Bo joins us tomorrow. Obviously, cousin of the great Big Puma, who's trying to get down for the Andre Ward fight. I've been hearing too much from him lately. 95.7 The Game. In the last segment, Robert Klemko from the Monday Morning Quarterback came on. He has a fascinating piece up on the site called Dalvin Cook and the Stories Behind the Red Flags. Dalvin Cook is a well-regarded running back prospect coming out of Florida State. Some felt he was better than Leonard Fournette, but in the last couple months, his draft stock has slid. Klemko went behind the scenes to figure out why. Now, Cook has a couple of arrests from his middle school days on his record. There's some red flags there. But there's a runner who's been bad-mouthing him, trying to sabotage him behind the scenes. And that's got some teams giving even more pause to the situation. This piece is fascinating. It's going to take some time to read. It's long form, but it's tremendous work on Klemko's behalf. You mentioned how when you were coming out, you dealt with some runners before.
Sure.
A runner is a go-between between agents and players because an agent can't necessarily have contact with a player at a certain point, can't give him money, so the runner does the dirty work. He'll slip the cash to the player and try to steer him towards a big-time agent. Did you ever deal with this?
Yeah.
At Fresno State?
At Fresno State, Joe. It's interesting. People think, oh, you're not big enough, school doesn't happen. It happened. And I have come from, you know, a good family background, not saying that I was an angel by no stretch of imagination, but at least, you know, you had some values and you know what, you know, right from wrong. But, you know, you have people. You have from coaches, from acquaintances, guys you might see at a dinner and say, hey, Mr. Reno, I met you. And, hey, I'd love for you to meet my friend. You'll have friends of friends. Just, hey, coaches in high school. Hey, I got a good guy I'd like for you to meet. And it's crazy, Joe. People don't understand. And they say, well, these guys got to keep their nose clean. They got to understand. You put a rooster in a hen house, that rooster ain't just going to sit around and just look at all the hens. He going to cluck, and he going to get busy. So you look at these young men, and you say, okay, they got to know better. You go give a guy $1,000, and you put it in an envelope, and you say, here's $1,000. You're going to make, do you think these guys are going to walk away from it?
They make it like it's such an easy transaction. It's just, there's no way to trace it. It's just, here's some cash.
Here's cash. A cash. Here's an envelope, a card, and you look at the card, and all of a sudden, hundreds are coming out. And you're like, wow. Okay, I'll meet with you. What do you do?
You played all 4 years at Fresno State, right? But after your junior year, could you have gone pro? Would you have been drafted?
I probably would have been drafted. Probably would have been in later rounds, but yeah.
Did you give it some thought?
No, because I was enjoying college. My dad, Big Glenn, wouldn't have let me.
But, okay, so what I'm getting at is, I always love that about you, by the way. But what I'm getting at is, you knew you had the future to play in the NFL.
Yes.
You knew, like, after your junior year, which means other people look at you and say, Lo Neal's got a future. Lo Neal's going to have some earning potential.
Sure.
They see dollar signs, so now in between that junior and senior year, they might be trying to get at you for their own personal gain.
Without
I want to represent you here. Yep. I can help you with this. We can do this. We can do that, right? They're trying to get at you.
Joe, without a doubt, I had my head coach, Jim Sweeney, may rest in peace. This guy brought me in his office and set me down and said, hey, Lo, I'm going to tell you, you might want to think about stop wrestling. He said, wrestling ain't going to pay you. You're going to make some money.
And Sweeney didn't say it like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, Lorenzo, come here. Hey, I need to talk to you. Hey, I got to Sweeney's talk to fantastic. You in a second. Hey, look. Hey, I know you're just a little from Lemoore and don't know much, but I'm going to tell you right now, these scouts are coming and asking about your black ass. Yeah. Hey, look, I don't care what you think. I'm not a racist. My dad was, my father was a coal miner from Brute, Montana. You got it? Good. So I'd fight brothers. It didn't matter. I'll fight anyone. And they're talking about you. Yeah, you. You can change it. You can give the Lily the Valley a first check. I mean, Coach went down to Lemoore.
Wow. That was really nice.
So he comes down to Lemoore when I'm getting ready to get drafted. And he comes to my church and he sings, "Oh, when the Saints go marching in," because I got drafted to the Saints. And he's talking about, and when he sends his first check home, oh, he's got him going crazy. Jim Sweeney was amazing.
But he's giving you the heads up. Absolutely. That some of these runners might be trying to get at you.
Absolutely. Hey, look, you better make sure you do the right thing because these guys are going to try to get you. I got to have you next year. You better keep your butt in school.
So hilarious.
Got it. Good.
Dibs, a young man coming out for a broadcasting career. Runners trying to give you envelopes full of cash.
Yeah, it didn't really happen that way, Joe. As a junior college tennis player, as I was trying to pick my four-year school to go to, not a lot of people running at me in the doubles alley. Nah, it didn't really play out that way.
Dibs, come here for a second. Got an envelope for you. There's nothing in here. That's the joke, Dibs. No one cares.
Here's $5. Go buy some tennis balls. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it, you know?
God, I wish you guys could have met Jim. Man, we got to find the tape where you guys can hear his voice. I sound just like him.
I believe it.
But you can see how the Dalvin Cooks of the world, a lot of these guys, one little, I don't even want to say slip up, but someone slides you a little bit of cash. These dudes come from nothing. When we're talking about Liberty City and Miami, we're talking about, I think it's called Brownstown. There are some really bad parts of Miami. Really bad parts. That's why when Howard Schnellenberger came in and took over the U in the early 80s, he put a huge map of the state of Florida up on the board, and he showed all his assistants, and he walked up with a marker, and he took a line right at Tampa Bay, middle of the state, yep, and just drew it straight across. And he said, everything south of this line is ours. That's how we're building our program. Miami has a ton of talent, but these kids, you've said it before about Ray, they got no other choice.
No question.
You have to make it as a pro, or that's the end.
And you know, if you can get a couple $1,000, you're in college and get a credit card. Every corner you turn, it's free applications. Fill them out and you get a credit card in college. And yeah, I kind of maxed mine out a couple times. So shoot, you get a couple bucks, you can pay it off. These guys, trust me, these different agents and these runners, they know who's getting drafted. They know what's going on. And so you got to realize, though, if a kid takes that money, it's that blood money, and they expect something. And so now you got to realize maybe the guy sees another agent that's really a true, and he sits with the parents, and your parents say, you're going to go with this guy. All of a sudden now, these guys are like, they're going to go after you. They're going to try to blackball you. They're going to say, look, he took money. Think about if a guy takes money his junior year, and now he's getting ready to go into his senior year, and all of a sudden he gets wind that another agent's pursuing him, and then he's going to tell you, hey, look, if you don't sign with me, I'm gonna turn you in that you took money. I have records.
Hall of Fame segment right there from you. Hall of Fame segment. I'd like to get more into that in a bit. Next, you know who we're going to talk to? Dontrell Willis, the D-Train. We got to find out some stuff that's going on in MLB, but we'll also get his draft story as well because that was a hot prospect coming out of the Bay. Don't go anywhere. Back in a minute. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.